If you ever find yourself living in a trailer park and you don't like your neighbors, you can always pick up everything, including your house, and move. Unfortunately, no matter where you park your trailer, you're probably going to be surrounded by conservative Republicans. Dun, dun, dun!
Comedian Karma Rae Gold just spent some vacation time visiting her family at their trailer parks in Florida and Alabama, and boy, was she surprised when they started quoting all the talking points from Fox News.
Today, the she-larious Karma Rae Gold joins us to take a look at the benefits and drawbacks of living in a trailer park.
Plus, for the second time in history, a patient is cured of HIV.
Do not mess with the royal family on social media, or they'll block you.
And rest in peace, actor Luke Perry, the 90s heartthrob from Beverly Hills 90210, a longtime LGBT and AIDS advocate. He died of a stroke at 52.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Why'd you come and see me in my trailer sometime?
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people like you. Thank you. Right now, we need your help. After many years of creating podcasts and videos you love, our dear computer can't take it anymore and is ready to go to the great big recycling bin in the sky. It is heartbreaking to be in this situation.
Visit GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer right now and give any amount. Help us reach our goal of saving the show's podcasting computer. Every dollar you give goes directly into making Feast of Fun last for years to come. We know we can count on you to make a big difference and continue the show. Thank you for loving Feast of Fun.
Thank you very much. Once again, the link is GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer.
To know what you're doing right now and how bad can that be?
Girl, there is a reckoning happening in the United States when all the drag queens rise up against their overlords. You know, shit is about to go down. Dun, dun, dun. But before we get into that, our good gal pal, Karma Rae Gold, just got back from Florida, where she had a lot of trouble with a Trump supporter family member.
It was nuts.
Was it just one or many of them?
So it was just...
Because you were Florida, Alabama, right?
Right.
Flablama.
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 Yeah, so it was nuts. Like, my grandpa, he had initially voted for Trump, but since then has changed his tune. Mm-hmm. And my uncle... apparently he voted for Trump and has not changed his tune. And I was really surprised when he, you know, he asked me, he's like, so what do you think about our president? And I was like, what do you mean? What do I think about him?
I love him.
I know.
Why wouldn't I love him?
Yeah. Like my eyes just got real big, like, and dumb. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't like what you bring. Why are you bringing it up? And he's just like, well, you know, they got to build that wall. They got to build that wall. And like, then he just went on this rant about, just like this Fox News brainwash rant about ISIS infiltrating the cartels and the cartels infiltrating America, mm-hmm. and coming to take,
Russians infiltrating the Republican Party.
Yeah. Somehow that didn't get mentioned.
No.
Like, oddly
ISIS
enough.
Sure would like, they would love that cartel money, I'm sure.
Like, I would
like
that.
It's a good idea.
Pablo Escobar.
Yeah, I could do.
There were gay Pablo Escobar people. Did you watch Narcos on Netflix?
No, I haven't.
There was a gay guy. Yeah.
There was?
He lived it up, honey.
Oh, good.
You're like, what is a gay man who has the money of the world's richest drug cartel in history do? He buys a lot of drugs. Well, he has all the cocaine he needs.
Yeah.
You're growing, but he lived it up and had a fabulous life until he was shot in the head.
Well, one of the hazards of the job, you know?
But you know what? It was a hell of a roller coaster, and the food was delicious.
Mm. Ooh, I bet it was.
It was haciendas.
Everything had cocaine on it.
Did you know cocaine? Lose weight with the AIDS diet plan. You remember that from the 80s?
Karma's too young.
No, but...
We used to watch The Price is Right, you know, because you would stay home from school. And in between commercials, this woman pops up and she's like, I lost so much weight with AIDS. And that was at the time of the, we knew what the AIDS crisis was. We knew what AIDS was, you know? And you're just like, this product's not going to stay on the shelves for too long.
But now they've cured, you know, not to take away from your Florida trip, but they've cured AIDS. Well, in two people now.
Oh, what? That's awesome.
Well, it's a weird cure, though. It's like these guys had cancer, right? And so they gave them bone marrow transplants. Uh-huh. And some people have a natural immunity to acquiring the HIV virus. And so one guy, it happened to like 12 years ago. And now, 11 years later, because I think he's a cancer free for a year now and also HIV free for 1 year.
So now there's two cases where people have become HIV negative. Mm-hmm. As a consequence of these life-threatening bone marrow transplants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
exactly.
In other words, we can cure your AIDS if we almost kill you.
Basically.
Yeah, that's... Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the case with the first guy, and they kind of thought that it was like, oh, he was almost at death's door when this happened. But with the second guy, he wasn't as... He still needed the transplant, but he wasn't, like, deathly ill. And the thinking was, because it wasn't happening to other people, that you really had to be, like, almost in the grave for it to work. But now they know that that's not true, that you could just get the bone marrow transplant. But the thing is, you have to go through so many other retroviral, because you have to go off of all, they have to suppress your immune system in order for you to be on this stuff and to have the bone marrow transplant. So, you know, but it's great in the sense that we know that this works, and you never know where that science will lead.
So if you go out to a dinner, do not eat the mints from the bowl at the door. If your immune system is suppressed.
Yeah. Because they say that, like, those things, like, you have, like,
the mints
or, like, the
jelly beans
or peanuts and stuff like that. Even if there's a spoon in it, there's still probably a lot of fecal matter in there.
Yeah, people are so gross about washing their hands and not doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just like, nope, I'm good.
I wash my hands when I poop, but I don't when I masturbate. Just kidding.
Well, usually you're in bed and just go to sleep, right?
Rub one out, then go. How you doing?
So how'd you leave it with your family in Florida?
Oh man.
Were you able to talk your uncle down off the Trump ledge?
Not really. I kind of went on my own weird little rhetoric because he was talking about domestic terrorism, and then I was like, well, if you're paying attention, a lot of domestic terrorists are like just these white guys. They're just like
right-wing.
So maybe we should be building a wall around white men. And he was like, well, that's a little different, don't you think? And I was like,
white.
Yeah. And I was like, no. Like, even though
so
it's preposterous.
Are you arguing with basically like a right-wing Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure kind of guy, but in his 40s or something? Or?
In his 60s.
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 Does he live in a trailer park?
Oh, for sure. My family is a trailer park. Like,
trailer parks can be fun.
They can be,
can be very conservative, right?
Yeah, it's a small town. It's a small paper mill town, and it's a poverty of thought and a poverty of like creative thinking. And
I don't know, the times I've walked into a trailer park, I was worried I would get outed as somebody who did not live in a trailer.
You're like,
this is a trailer park. I've always heard about these places. Wow, do you guys actually live in these places? That's crazy. Where does your poop go? And they're like,
so they come and clean it out. Well, some of them get hooked up to like actual sewer systems. I think, right?
They just have septic. Yeah.
But you know, when you're in a trailer park, you kind of want to play along. You don't want to pulling on a camera and taking pictures of people's front yards.
No.
And like, wow, look at this Americana. It's so primitive and rustic.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, instead of like urban tourism, it's like rural tourism.
Redneck tourism.
Well, yeah.
It's kind of an interesting choice, like between like a trailer or just like an apartment. Why would you not just live in an apartment? Like my friend Iyad, he was from Palestine. He went to school in my hometown, and he and his wife, he married her. They ended up living in a mobile home. I'm like, well, what do you guys pay for rent? And I was like, you just get an apartment. He's just like, why would you be out here? He's just like, I don't know. We just kind of like it. It feels like it's our own home.
And you don't have to deal with neighbors.
Well, you still have to deal with neighbors because, you know, you have to go do your laundry by where they are and stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember him telling me, he's like, oh, everybody that lives here is pretty much trash. I'm just like, well, why live here?
Hence the way. And, you know, I'm sure there are trailer parks that are lovely places and great people. Mm-hmm. I don't want to disparage anybody who for where they live or how they live.
No. And, you know, my friend, our friend Michael, who's done the podcast, his parents, I believe, live in like on the trail in Florida, like it's a retirement community.
Yeah.
So it's one of those kinds of things. And I suppose, you know, there's a certain appeal to it. So it's like, you know, it's a cottage. It's a small house.
That's
right?
Cute. No, these are like, so these used to be like little double wides, mm-hmm. but then they got rid of all the double wides. And now it's just like more of an RV park.
Oh.
Because it is a paper mill town. So okay. then like people like come in and work and then they leave. It has to do with like factory shutdowns, I guess. Oh. Okay. When scabs come in, I don't know. I haven't quite figured it all out, and I don't. So I'm like, I don't know. I don't work.
But you're
at
from
the
Indiana.
Factory.
There's lots of trailer parks out there.
Yeah, yeah. I never visited those though. Mm.
There's a gay community in Michigan. Ooh. That has basically like. It's kind of a hybrid between a fairy commune and a sex club and a public, like a state park, mm-hmm. and a trailer homes. And mm-hmm. like we know a couple gay people who have these like really lavish trailers where they throw amazing parties. And I'm like, you know, it makes you want to live in a trailer park.
Yeah, if you can do it right, do it right.
But you got to have money.
Yeah.
It's like living in L.A. and in Beverly Hills. It's not going to be fun if you're like broke.
Right.
You know, you're going to be like, you know, say is like, where do you live? And you're like, I don't want to tell you.
Yeah.
Which mansion is your home? You're like, no, I'm not going to tell you.
No, it's very exclusive.
And you know, like we have family members who live in a trailer park part of the year.
You do?
So
who?
Yours.
Oh, my brother has, yeah. Is it a trailer park? It's a campground. So he has a camper.
With trailers all over the place.
Well, I think somebody...
That's a trailer park.
No, it's a campground. It's not a trailer.
What's the difference?
Well, because it's, you know, it's seasonal. So it's only there from like May to October. It's right by the lake.
Because mm-hmm. Some people do spend the winters at those.
No, days. not at this particular campground. You have to leave between.
Oh, so everybody picks up and goes.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, no. Sometimes your camper can stay there because you've rented
like,
it for the year.
You can't be inhabiting it.
You can't be inhabiting it. Oh, yes, because okay. the park is closed.
Oh, interesting.
One time on those, you know, in the early days of the hookup apps, we went and I hooked up with a guy who was in a trailer. And I left my hoodie in this place.
No.
And I was so mad about it. And I felt embarrassed, like, going back there. But, you know, part of it was, like, I just didn't want to, like... And I was just kind of, like, I've never... He didn't tell me he lived in a trailer park, you know? But when I went to the place, I was just like, this is a trailer park, you know?
Yeah.
And I've never been set foot in one.
Yeah. Did you take pictures?
I don't want to sound like, you know, Paris Hilton or, you know, Ivanka Trump and be like, wow, I'm in a trailer. You know, I just didn't want to like make him feel, cause it was a nice home. It was a beautiful place, you know? But I was really, really amazed that somebody could like have built a home. And then when I went inside it, it really sort of challenged my preconceived notions of what a trailer park was. And it made me realize that, like, even here in the United States, where we sort of have seen a disappearing middle class, we still have a lot of, like, preconceived notions of what it means to live in a certain place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, we have a long ways to go about how we think of people in certain communities, and we tend to pigeonhole them, you know. And that was an appealing a siren call for Trump rising to power, was to speak to these people who are sort of like disenfranchised, but at the same time, you know, disadvantaged in education and you know, money and sure. And they were like, well, this person speaking to me, speaking to my values.
I suppose I really think a lot of it's the racism. I'm just like, that's
they go into the trailer parks the same reason when people in the 60s went to the suburbs.
Well, like, they're just, like, so isolated. And, like, that particular town, like, I can speak to it because I spent, like, you know, kindergarten to, like, mm-hmm. fourth grade, like, growing up there. Like, it's, like, rural Alabama. It's, like, really racist. Like, it's the kind of town where, like, if you were
there's
of
nothing,
color, I don't think you would feel safe.
There's nothing to do there but except to hate.
Yeah, and meth.
Mm-hmm.
Meth is huge.
Oh,
I
really?
Think that's, like, the main import-export. Aside from the paper.
And bonfires with marshmallows and... No?
He's trying to make a wooden cross joke.
Yeah.
I was just thinking.
I'm like, that's really clever.
I was just thinking, it was like, you know, maybe it'd be fun to live in a trailer park. You know?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I did see, like, this, like, couple in their camper having a little, like, bonfire outside. And, you know, there's, like, dogs running around just being
friendly. I know Jesse would love it.
Yeah.
Most dogs would love it if you didn't have a home. If you lived out in nature and stuff like that, they'd be super happy.
Yeah.
Like, we have to bribe our dog to get back in the house after going for a walk. It's like, I'm not doing it.
I know. I saw that video of, like, when during the polar vortex, and Jesse's just, like, romping around like it's...
You know, it doesn't affect him in the beginning, but, like, after about 15, 20 minutes, then he's just like, oh, it is really cold outside. Maybe it would be nicer to go back into the house, which I'm very thankful for.
Yeah. You know? That it
did. Did you see the video I posted last week at the beach with the coyotes on the lake?
Yeah, that was wild. Those coyotes.
They're more scared of you than you're of them.
They were booking. There was three of them running along the lakefront, and then all of a sudden one disappeared, and then the other two went out onto the ice, and they were just like, I couldn't believe it. A cop came over. He's like, are those dogs or coyotes? I'm like, coyotes. He's like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh, good, because I don't have to worry about them then. If they were dogs, he would have had to have done something.
Oh,
but the coyotes, wow. They're like, that's, you know, wildlife and stuff.
Okay, so you can.
So with your family, and we talk about a lot of this stuff, is like usually over the holidays, people kind of, they're having to spend time with family members who are not exactly aligned to their values, you know, their kindness or compassionate, and that's hard to come by.
Yeah,
how do you deal with that?
It was really difficult, you know, like, because he kept talking about, like, you know, and L.A. is one of those asylum cities. And I was like, yeah, so is Chicago. Mm-hmm. I was like, and I'm glad that we are. Like, this is what America supposedly, like, founded on. Like, bring us your poor, huddled masses. And I'm like, it's not any of these people's fault that they were born under, like, conflict and gunfire. Like, they're running for their lives, and you're, like, wanting to refuse them, like, safe harbor? Like, why not be compassionate?
Yeah.
Like...
It's easier to hate.
Yeah, yeah. And then he started talking about how they're here to steal, like, our education, and I was like, what education?
They're going to ransack your libraries. Yeah. I wish we had a way to just kind of, like, you know, deprogram these people, but I think that you know, then we just have stupid liberals or something.
Or
we have plenty of those already.
Stupid people everywhere.
Yeah.
Just to think more critically, like, you know, just, like, ask some questions of Fox News. Like, if that's what you want to watch, just, like, watch it with a more critical lens.
Well, part of it is, like, you know, even so-called progressive media, like the, you know, the Out Magazine, Advocate, and all these, you know, 100 million other gay news sites that have a variation on the word out with their name, you know, the Out Advocate and the Advocate Who Is Out news channel, you know,
out and about with advocacy.
And the way they're talking about progressive candidate Pete Buttigieg, great name, mayor in Indiana, who's running for president in this next election. They're talking about him. They're doing the old trick of, like, you know, you say something but this other thing, and you're like, I really admire Hitler, the way he treated his dog, but he was a monster, and, you know, we should take aims to not repeat the Holocaust, which was the worst thing that ever happened to humanity.
Fausto loves Hitler.
And Fausto admires Hitler is the headline. Pete Buttigieg said the same thing, basically, of our vice president, Mike Pence, and he's like, he's a nice guy on the surface, but he's a sociopath and he's disingenuous and he's out to fuck shit up, you know? And they literally are saying, like, how can we trust Mike Buttigieg? He said he likes Mike Pence and he's a nice guy. And I'm like, you guys are terrible and they should take those articles down. But they post them up because it makes them money. There, people link bait that shit, clickbait, and they just share it all over the internet. And it's just like, and you're making money... For what? No one trusts you anymore, Nan.
Right.
Because you're putting all this garbage. Then if you click the article and actually read the article, you can see the quote.
Right.
I'm very hopeful because I know that love is stronger than hate.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't, we wouldn't be here to contemplate it.
That's
and
true.
I'm excited for Bernie Sanders running for president and all the other candidates.
Yeah.
What are you excited about this election?
I'm excited with how, like, I hate to say this, but how, like, socialist it sounds. Like, my main thing is, like, healthcare for everyone and affordable education. Like, you know, I don't know that everybody, I don't know that, like, higher education is necessarily a right, but we can make it, like, more affordable. It should definitely be more accessible.
Mm-hmm. Not everybody needs to go to college or wants to go to college.
Yeah, yeah.
But it shouldn't cost you, like, $100,000.
No,
that, you have to pay
that
off.
Just, like, exponentially increases so that you can never pay it off and never feel like you've got a foothold in your life.
Mm.
Healthcare, I do think, is a right. Like, I think housing is a right, and I think healthcare is a right, and I think water is a right.
Mm. Clean water.
Clean water.
Because you're a nurse, your day job is a nurse, and do you feel like universal healthcare would make your job easier?
It definitely would. I don't know about, like, my ins and outs, but I do think that, like, our hospitals would have more funding. Like, I had this one interaction with one of my coworkers who's an ER nurse, and she was talking about how they had to rush this patient off to cardiac surgery, and she was like, and he's homeless and he couldn't pay the bill. So that's a surgery. That's a heart surgery that was we're not going to get paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, that's why we should have universal health care, blah, blah, blah.
Because it's costing money anyway.
Right, exactly. And then her counter to that was then, no, because then you're going to have people coming in for everything and abusing the system. And I'm like, shit, do you want to get paid or not? Like, what's the big
issue? Well, aren't there hypochondriacs coming in anyways doing that already?
Hardly.
Like, who wants to hang out in the hospital unless you really need to?
I am a hypochondriac, and I only go to the doctor, like, maybe twice a year. Like,
wait a minute. You admit you're a hypochondriac, and you work as a nurse?
That's one of the main reasons I got into it.
So you diagnose yourself?
Yeah.
You're like a gay Colombian drug lord.
What's the thing you diagnosed yourself with that you were like, this is what it is? And, like, you find out, well, that's not what it is. But
oh, I had this bit about it, but, like, when I was 23, something like this. This was, like, my first job out of college. Like, I was a receptionist. And I just went in some, like, spiral on WebMD, and I was, like, clicking around and clicking around, and then, like, diagnosed myself with Down syndrome.
I could see that.
Yeah, right. I can too. I still kind of think
you don't look
I might.
Strong enough to have Downs.
That's what I keep coming back to. It's like, you have a really low muscle mass. Like, you know, I've got little ears, which was my main symptom.
Oh,
wait a minute. You actually,
you were like, I'm high functioning.
Can people?
Yes!
Can people? Well,
I know the feeling. I have a sister with Down syndrome, so I'm like, well, she has Down syndrome. What do I have? Oh, I'm gay. Does that explain everything, though?
I know. Maybe there's another something lurking.
Has there ever been in history, like, somebody with a genetic, you know, I don't want to call it disorder, I guess, condition, that didn't get diagnosed, and people are like, oh, you have Down syndrome, you know?
I don't know.
I don't think it's likely to happen.
No, it's usually that you usually are pretty good about diagnosing that very early on.
Yeah.
But, like, when my sister was born, the doctor was like, to my mother, was just like, you know, we think your daughter has Down syndrome because, you know, if you look at her eyes, she's like, oh, no, she has her father's eyes. And my father has like kind of Asiatic eyes. You know?
Almond shaped eyes.
And they're kind of like with the little, like, the hoods or whatever, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Like, yeah. What is it? Single lid?
Something like that.
Something.
You know, they're not too dissimilar from
mine. We call them the bedroom eyes.
Ooh.
They're romantic. Ooh. Mark always looks like he's a little bit sleepy.
Yeah, you do.
A little bit sleepy, a little bit horny, and both. Let me correct that. Look, just take out the word look. Ooh. Mark is always a little bit sleepy and a little bit horny.
He's just living his truth.
So you're still doing the stand-up thing?
Yeah, still doing it.
Stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
She doesn't stand up at the bus stop. Stand up when she's
stand up for women's rights.
I'm standing
up. And what you believe.
And there's a big controversy right now because Stormy Daniels wants to do stand-up comedy. And, like, there's a lot of comedians out there that are like, you're a porn star. You shouldn't do stand-up comedy. Leave it to the professionals.
I just feel like a couple things might be going on. So you've got some people who are in stand-up comedy. Maybe they wish they were better looking. You know, maybe they're like, hey, you get the looks, you get the tits, you get the cum.
If I can put on a bra and hooker boots, sex worker boots, and a wig and some makeup to look like a beautiful woman, so can you, damn it.
That's right.
Yeah, but I'm in pain. Why are you in pain?
but for comedy, except for like Dane Cook, does being attractive have any advantage in the comedy business?
For sure.
Oh, really?
I think it for sure. I think if people can stand to look at you, they will listen to you.
Well, no, but theater, you know, this is the thing that drives me crazy. I know drag queens who won't do stand-up comedy shows but try to do stand-up at drag shows.
Huh.
And I know stand-up comedians who dress up in drag for drag shows but won't dress up in drag for their comedy shows. And I'm just like, people, you can do anything you want to anywhere you want to. It's
absolutely.
It's 2019.
Yeah.
You know, soon it'll be 2020. And the year after that, 2021. And we'll be saying the same thing. This is the future.
Yeah.
The future is now. You can live it. Live it up.
Live in it. Yeah, absolutely. If Stormy Daniels is funny, more power to her. Let her do it. You know, I think
she did do it. That's a joke, right?
that's the biggest thing.
She had sex with Trump and she didn't laugh.
Yeah.
And so maybe, you know, her judgment is a little impaired.
Why is it really that bad for comedians to laugh at your own jokes?
I don't think so. So Kathleen Madigan laughs at her own jokes a lot, and I really like her.
Okay.
Like, I've always liked her kind of just, like, breaking character and just be like, this is so ridiculous.
Well, Jimmy Fallon is hated by a lot of comedians because he laughs during Saturday Night Live skits and now with his guests, and they think he's indulgent.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think if you're, like, in a skit or a sketch and there's other people involved and you're, like, the weak link who's breaking it up, I'm like, oh.
But I don't know. It's, like, some of my favorite memories of watching, you know, either the Carol Burnett show or Saturday Night Live or any kind of skit on a late-night talk show is that part of it is, as human beings, we want to see other people have pleasure.
Sure.
And enjoy seeing somebody break that fourth wall by enjoying the moment that we're enjoying is really great.
Yeah, that's true. I give it like maybe 1 in 10. You do it 1 out of every 10 times. That's fine. That's acceptable. That's,
but if,
like,
you're relying
pleasing
on it.
But like if you're relying on that sort of like, oh, people are going to love to see me break and connect, you know, then I'm like, well, then why just do stand up?
Well, I would describe sometimes Jimmy Fallon as kind of like a mukbang video. It's just basically watching somebody gorge themselves with food. You know? And they're just sitting there just like, oh my God, everything's hilarious. And can be really exciting and fun. And sometimes it's just like, you know, get off that job and let somebody else, let a real professional like me take
charge.
Yeah.
And that's what happens, like, you know, like with RuPaul's Drag Race, every single season, every year is like, you know, Fifi O'Hara should host RuPaul's Drag Race, or, you know, the latest one was Shangela should host RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm like,
well, does it
if Shangela wants to host her own show, she has plenty of money and plenty of connections to do it on her own. She could do it, start as a web series. I mean, let me just say, RuPaul's Drag Race started as a web series on Logo. That's practically a web series. It was on the internet and viewed more on the internet than it was on Logo, because ain't nobody was, you know, watching a Logo. And that's where it grew up to be where it is today. And, you know, for a lot of the drag queens that actually make it far on the show, they do pretty well for themselves, although they find themselves having to take gigs with producers and managers that are not, you know, easy to work with. And most recently, like, a lot of the girls from RuPaul's Drag Race got into this fight with a company called Murray and Peter.
Peter and Murray,
which sounds like a candy company,
it
right?
It sounds like you would get a box of, like, pears, red Washington apples, and some candy and nuts at Christmas time.
Sure.
Right?
Oh, did
and
you
with that
get
green
the,
grass.
Yeah.
Right?
Did you eat all the Macintosh apples? Well, that's a cheap apple. The Valencia, those are cheap oranges. The Cara Cara apples from Murray and Peter. Oh, I really wanted those. Oh, that taffy is so good. Did you get the little cheese balls? They were so good.
I ate the little candies that were strawberries, like the ones.
Chocolate covered strawberries.
No, they're just like they're strawberry. They come
with
in strawberry
the goo
wrapper
in the middle.
Yeah,
those are sick.
You're like, I gave my heart and soul to corporation, and all they could do at Christmas time is give me a stupid Murray and Peter box of snacks. I wanted a promotion. I wanted a pay raise. I wanted a bonus, and all I got a box of pears and some crackers. Mm-hmm. And it's basic. It's not even organic. Murray and Peter, you suck. What are we talking about? Oh, yeah, drag queens. So Monet Exchange, who shared the crown with Trinity Tuck Taylor on the latest season of RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars. Stop me if anything I'm saying makes no sense to you.
It's all good.
You're like, who?
I don't know. I'm here for fun.
And so these two drag queens, they're raising, you know, Monet Exchange. She is now like in Pepsi commercials in the Super Bowl. She's doing really well. And, you know, when they get booked on these shows, they're also saying yes to a lot of opportunities that come their way, right? And one of the things that they're doing now is, like, the drag queens get together and they do a comedies roast. You know, just like the Brat Pack. Like, you know, what was the name? Sammy Davis Jr. and that crowd?
Yeah.
They're sort of doing that same
What's
kind
that
of thing.
Called? Friar's Roast.
The Friar's Roast, mm-hmm. right? With Frank Sinatra and, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're doing that, and it's fun because they actually get to, you know, develop material, and most drag queens are pretty good at delivering cutty, you know, backhanded compliment jokes, right? Mm-hmm. They're good.
I think
at
most of them at this point in time just buy the jokes from Jackie Beat.
But Jackie's writing the entire show.
Probably.
So Jackie's not going to be doing the show anymore. So Monet Exchange at the last minute got invited to be in Madonna's new video. And I guess moments before she was supposed to do the show, she packed up her bags, got on an airplane, flew to wherever Madonna was filming, and left them all in the dust. And Murray and Peter, instead of quietly just being like replacing her and moving, letting the show go on, they went on social media and they're just like, fuck this bitch, da da. You know, they're just like, and it is a 12 car pileup on the highway.
Everybody's chiming in on saying, like, Peter and Murray fucked me over in this. Those people suck. We're going to start a revolution. We're going to start producing our own shows and cut them out. They're making millions off of our hard work. And what do they do?
What do you give me? A big nothing. You take others of the love and emotion. Wait a minute, we're quoting Rocky Horror Picture Show. But it's the same idea. Mm-hmm. And part of me is like, you know, I don't want to get, if I was an entertainer who relied on bookings from production companies, I would probably just stay out of it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to like be like, oh, great. So now, you know, anybody who's going to book me is going to be questioning whether I'm going to leave at the last minute or whatever, or, you know. And Mark, you were saying that Murray and Peter could have just said, hey, girl, you owe us a favor.
Yeah, just go do your thing and come back and join the tour, or, you know, you owe us a gig or something, or just not pay her or fine her or something, you know. But it's like, you're going to ask a drag queen whose main pursuit in life is to suck for fame to, like, not work with Madonna, you know? I mean, it's crazy. What drag queen wouldn't drop everything and go?
Anybody? Who wouldn't?
Let me just say this. If I got a text message and say, hey, Fausto, I need you to stop taping this podcast right now, get on an airplane, and go hang out with
Madonna.
Well, let's not go crazy here. Yes, I would do it for Madonna. I would even do it for, like, you know, Lana Turner. Who was that, like, nobody? I'm trying to think of an entertainer.
Mamie Van Doren,
I would do it.
She's
for
still
her.
Alive. She's my friend on Facebook.
Aww.
We interviewed her once. She was lovely.
Oh, nice.
Mamie Van Doren. People are like, who? Google it, girl.
I'm going to Google it.
You don't know who she is. She was a blonde bombshell. She was a contemporary of Jane Mansfield.
Oh, one of those.
And Marilyn Monroe. She was part of the blonde girl brat pack.
Yeah.
Trifecta.
Yeah, what were they called? They should have had a fun little name.
They were called
the
women.
Triple D's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That meanwhile, like, drag queens in Chicago are fighting with each other, and there was like a big melee at one of the clubs, and people posted it on social media, and one of the drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race was like, this club needs to shut down because they're discriminating against people, and then they posted the video and everybody's all quiet about it now. Because the video just is really unflattering. Basically, the people that were like accused of being kicked out of the club unfairly were, you know, starting fights.
Like, that's fair.
We don't know what happened inside the club. We only saw what happened once they were outside of the club. Right. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't paint them in a very good picture. But, you know, when you don't know the context of video, it could mean anything. That's anything could happen. And, you know, a lot of times people see things, they're like, well, I see this in this video. And so it happened just like this. There's a lot of other information that's missing.
Yeah. As I'm not the first, you know, Rue girl that I've seen standing outside of this club wailing and embarrassing herself in front of the camera. We didn't film it.
We didn't film it.
I wasn't there, you know.
I filmed it, but I deleted it.
You did?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you did.
Have you seen this woman?
Who?
Do you know this woman? She's taking her own menstrual blood and she's smearing it on her face to remove the stigma and smegma of of menstrual blood. Shame, and she's got written on her leg in her own menstrual blood. That's an awful lot of blood, menstrual blood.
Shame,
blood, right?
What does it say?
Shameless.
Shameless.
And then she has it on her face. That's
she wants less shame?
Isn't like menstrual blood. Like,
it's pretty clotty.
It's pretty clotty, and there's not a lot of
she
it.
She must
right?
be keeping it in a diva cup and like kind of storing it up in the freezer.
A
or
diva
something.
Cup.
Yeah, it's like a little.
They call these things diva cups.
Yeah, that's one of the brands. It's like this little like. Imagine a...
Instead of a tampon, it's like a cup you stick in there.
Yeah,
and catches
for
like
a diva. Little,
yeah.
But doesn't it still leak at all or no?
Sometimes it does. I tried one once and I did not have a good time getting it up
there. Because the thing with the diva cup, the diva cut cup is you have to like get it all the way up past the vaginal canal, right?
Yeah, you have
and
to
into
get
like the cervix area.
Yeah.
So it gets up in there. And then you take it out and then all the blood comes out and, you know.
Yeah.
It's, so, you have to be conscientious about it, right?
Yeah, it's not my scene.
Have you ever considered using tampons you can just wash or menstrual pads you can just wash again?
No.
I had a friend that she used those. I'm like, that's...
I lived with a woman who used sea sponges as a menstrual... I thought it was cute, but her bathroom sure smelled funny. It didn't smell bad. It just smelled strong, like iron. You know what I'm saying? Like when somebody's nose is bleeding and you're like, you can smell it, like your dog gets excited.
That sea sponge company needs to hire you for their advertising. It's cute.
It's like a little sponge.
It is like, if you're like into like Little Mermaid and stuff like that, that's what she would use. She would rip one of those sponges off the coral reef and shove it up her.
Because like nobody is calling feminine hygiene cute. Like nobody
Why
is.
Not? You should make it. Listen, feminine hygiene products are adorable. They have wings.
Okay. Playtex, are you listening?
They have wings. That's like unicorns have wings. What is it? Pegasus has wings. Yeah. My Little Pony brand.
That's true.
Tampons. That would be so cute.
Playtex.
And that way, you know, when young girls get their first period, it's not the end of the world. They get to use what the big girls use.
Yeah.
The My Little Pony Friendship is Magic tampons. Why? I don't know why they're not doing this. I'm serious.
Like the little
I'm deadly
horn.
Listen,
they should
I'm
make
deadly
them more they should make them more cutesy.
Yeah, they should.
And give them like, you know, grape and bubblegum flavor and make this like, you know what I'm saying? Like
some of that sounds a little
if,
like
if they're marketing
infection.
Like e-cigarettes to children, why not market like actually things that actually help them?
Yeah.
Have you heard this thing about a keto crotch?
What?
So, people are going on the keto diet, right? So it's a high protein, low carb diet.
Mm-hmm.
And some women are saying that they're getting like smelly smells down there because your balance is off. And so you get like some of the yeast dies off, right? You get too much yeast. And so you're getting BV, a busted vagina, I think is what, is that what it is? Is that what BV stands for?
That's not a medical term.
Bacterial vaginosis or something?
That's right.
BV. I thought
busted
vagina.
That actually did happen
to a friend of ours. Oh. She was like, BV, is that busted vagina? And so, and so they're saying that, like, because it can throw off your body scent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are, I don't know, as far as like these. Like diets go. I'm like, just use some flippin' common sense. Like, just.
Well, sense ain't too common these days.
No, man.
What is that? That fitness guru, Jackie
Gleason?
Warner.
To the moon, Alice.
I think it's Jackie Warner.
Right. Yeah. She's in a fight with Al Roker right now.
What?
Why?
Because Al Roker's like, I'm on keto. You know, and I'm like, I'm not going to take any advice from Al Roker or anything.
No. Well, because he was like 400 pounds.
Yeah.
And then he said he didn't get his stomach stapled, right? But everybody's like, I'm pretty sure you got your stomach stapled.
He
right?
Portion control. No, he actually lost weight, he claims, through ketogenic diet, which is a little to no carb diet. That where you can eat all the bacon you want.
Yeah, no, that's bullshit.
And I'm like, and I'm with Jackie here. I'm like, that's not a. Mark and I tried to, you know, cutting out very.
Yeah, we did the keto diet, and I got to tell you what, I did lose weight.
See, and I felt like I was going insane. Yeah. I felt like I didn't exist anymore. My brain wasn't getting food, nourishment.
Foggy. See, I did it, and I gained like 5 pounds in a week.
All
like,
that butter wrapped bacon.
Yeah, seriously, I was like frying bacon, frying bacon cheese, yeah. But like I was urinating my ketones, you know, like I did the little urine strips.
Oh, really? And it tested positive?
Yeah, but I was eating like a fuck ton of fat, like, because the theory is like you can eat as much as you want, and like I can really put it away.
Well, 1,000 calories of, you know, butter. Bacon wrapped butter is still going to be 1,000 calories.
Exactly.
Like, and your body's got to do something with that.
Yeah. My body just stored it.
And said, thank you.
Yeah.
And had to go somewhere and said, I'm staying right here.
And that's why I had 2 slices of chocolate cake for dinner.
Yeah.
Because if you don't treat yourself, you cheat yourself.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yes, bitch. I can come up with platitudes too. They're like, now available on feastoffun.com/store.
4 boys in Africa were killed after they swallowed pills that they thought would make their penis grow.
What was the actual pills?
The pill was a lethal pesticide called phostoxin pellets. And so I guess somebody told them that they would make their dicks big. And so they're like, let's take them. And so they did. And then they died.
That's like Jack and the Beanstalk, but with a dark twist.
Really weird twist.
How old were they?
Like 12 to 14.
What do they need with big ass dicks? You know? Come on.
Actually, Jack and the Beanstalk use what's that story?
Get your dick real big.
It got it gigantic. I think Jack and the Beanstalk is a metaphor for, like, you know, a kid dreaming of wanting to get their dick big.
Yeah.
And he climbs that dick
for
fame and fortune.
To the giant.
Yeah. Dick. Glad the biggest dick.
Yeah.
And then the dick tries to kill him.
Yeah. Watch out for that dick.
But you know, Jack and the Beanstalk, he was rescued a harp that could talk.
Right.
And she was like slave to the giant.
That's
so it became a workers' rebellion.
Yeah.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah.
My homegirl.
Yeah, she's so cool.
I like saying her name. I like looking at her. I like listening to her speak. She's going to be our president someday.
I know. I can't wait. Like, I don't know when.
The Fox News can't shut up about it. They're in love with her.
Because she's smart and gorgeous.
And she's the enemy because she's a socialist Democrat.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, if you don't feel like you got in the looks department, there is a wig store and some makeup and a makeup tutorial on YouTube. Look at me. I'm hideous. And I mean, as a beautiful woman, you know, it's like it took a lot of work to make me look good.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is a
layers of makeup.
Suspension of disbelief there, you know? And people were like, wow, you're so felch. At Peaches Christ Show Mean Gays. She's trying to make, I guess in the plot of Mean Girls, one of the characters is trying to make fetch a word, a catchphrase.
That's the whole joke.
And Peaches is trying to make felch.
As in fetching. Fetching. It's so fetch.
Yeah.
Like, quit trying to make fetch happen.
Yeah.
So we went to see Peaches Christ. We had a fantastic time.
It was very felch.
And it was cold as hell in the theater.
It was at the Patio Theater, which is here in Chicago. It's on like 6000 West Irving Park. So it's like at Irving in Austin. So it's pretty far out there. And I've been following this theater for a while because it had been closed for years. And then they rehabbed it. And so it was open for a number of years. But it was mostly running like second run movies. So I was just like, oh, I'll go out there one of these days. And then they closed for a while because they had like some heating and air conditioning problems. But then they reopened. But, you know, it was like 0 degrees yesterday or something. And it was absolutely freezing in that theater. But the show kept us warm.
Hold on a second, Mark. What? You're the one who recommended that space for peaches?
Well, I
So we have you to thank. Got it.
You know, I
Please send all angry letters to mail at Feast of Fun, attachment.
I didn't Mark tell period. Her to come in March, at the beginning of March, when it's record low heat. But no, I told her about that theater years and years and years ago. I think that they were looking for something a little closer to city prop, the lakefront where all the gays live.
Mm-hmm.
But, everything was already booked. So they got what they could get.
I had a great time, and certainly laughing actually did. And the 6 inches of foam padding all over my body kept me nice and toasty warm.
I wore my hat during the whole show. I was just like, I'm going to wear this and stay warm.
And Willem is just a born comedian, he just lights up the stage and just, extremely funny and brilliant. Who cares? She can't remember her lines. honestly, part of the thing is I know that, Jimmy Fallon gets yelled at for, when he breaks that fourth wall, but some of the most memorable moments in theater, including Peach's shows, is when shit goes wrong, or they're like somebody forgets their lines, or a prop malfunctions. It's not business as usual.
That's the things people remember. That's the things they laugh at. It was great to see Kim Chi perform in this capacity, because she's a fantastic look queen, and people really admire her for her silhouettes and her makeup skills. But they haven't really seen her perform very much, and they criticize her lip syncings, saying she's got no rhythm, she can't really do it. I've always found it very charming. I like that she's clunky. You know what I mean? There's an awkwardness, because you look at her and she looks so sophisticated. She looks so beautiful. And then she's just super awkward. And she's awkward in this show as well. But, it's charming.
Kim Chi used to be famous for, in her drag acts, pulling out a burrito bowl from Chipotle and eating it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was her performance. Another one, she just pulled out a chopping block. And I think it was Miley Cyrus's, you're doing that. Wrecking ball, and she's chopping onions and crying. And I thought, for someone of Kim Chi's background and generation, it was really great to see sort of the old school performance art, weird shit for weird shit's sake taking place. Whereas a lot of drag queens are all like, I'm beautiful, I'm a model,
mm-hmm.
or I'm the devil's goddaughter, Ooh. But basically you're just, emo with black lipstick and black eyeliner, and that's not interesting for me to see. I want to see somebody sort of be kooky and put themselves out there and do some weird shit for fun.
Well, and I'm super proud of Peaches for bringing this. I've been wanting her to bring a show like this to Chicago for a long time, and she's been wanting to get here. It's just having the right fit and when to do it and how to do it, because she's been doing a lot of these shows on the West Coast. So I'm glad that, Chicago really turned up to see it.
And one thing that's really good, and I don't want to spoil it for people who are going to go see it, is there's all these projections in the background that are happening while they're performing. Make sure to check the screen on the back, because there's
I think you could spoil that a little bit.
There's some great they insult queens. They roast them. They have a burn book, right? Mm-hmm. And she pulls out actual names of drag queens and reads them to filth on the show. And it's some of it was a little tiptoeing the edge of being mean to extreme, but others were, I thought, were, if the shoe fits, honey,
mm-hmm.
wear it, mm-hmm. and then stop the runway with it.
Yeah.
So what if I'm a felching? Felch away, darling. Felch is a thing. It always was a thing.
Felching will never go out of style. Have you ever felched?
Have not.
No.
What is felching, for people who don't know?
Felching is for when you deposit, when sperm is deposited in someone's rectum and you suck out that sperm.
Yeah, I haven't done it or had it done.
No, I haven't done it either. It's something. So there was a West Point cadet, unfortunately, died in a skiing accident. But his parents were able to get his sperm. And so they've harvested his sperm, and hopefully they'll be able to fulfill their dead son's wish of someday having 5 children.
So the parents are going to force their kid, their son, to basically breed on after their death.
Well, they got the judge's permission to retrieve his sperm because the sperm is viable for a while after the death. But, you know, the kid was, you know, he broke his spine and he wasn't breathing, but he was still alive.
So they're going to, what, like, give it to a sperm bank? Like...
Yeah, I guess they'll
find some like third cousin. I don't get it. Like,
they'll find some eggs and just put the sperm in the eggs, and then they'll have, you know,
some eggs just floating around.
Some grandbabies.
Flalabama.
Who knows? You know, nowadays, what's her name?
I'm still laughing about that.
Tamron Robbins or whatever, the Chicago newscaster. I think she started here, but I think she's somewhere else now. She's 48 years old and just had her first child. And so now there's like women who are like 70s and older having kids. I mean, it's not their egg, but they're just pumping themselves up with hormones and get, you know, and the kids come out just fine.
You mean I can still get pregnant?
Well, you could, yes.
Nightmare.
No? Yeah, babies aren't in your future, are they?
I don't think so. I don't know. I have all these coworkers who keep trying to convince me to have kids, and I'm like, I've never wanted kids. And they're like, oh, no, you need kids. And I'm like, I don't want kids. No, you have kids. I'm like, no, I'm 38. I don't think I'm going to have kids. And they're like, no, people, you can have kids up into your 50s. I'm like, God damn it. Like, what do I got to tell you? Like, I've got a heart of steel? Like,
you
I don't.
Just tell people you're infertile.
Yeah.
So I really would love kids, but you know what? It just fell out one day. Like, what do you mean it fell out? I was walking along, and then all of a sudden, these two little balls fell out. They bounced down the hallway. I was like, what's that? The doctor was like, those are your ovaries.
Not enough Kegels.
If we had kids, we'd be like, you know, hey, Shantae, Sashay, come over here right now. And get mommy, go, here's a $20, go to the corner and buy me a bottle of vodka. It's all right, here's a note.
God, the horrible things we do to our kids.
Didn't your parents, like, give you, as a kid, or somebody in your family gave you money to buy beer and cigarettes?
My sisters would send me with notes to the store.
Oh! And
pretend this is
like,
a true story.
My mom gave me a note, and I would buy cigarettes as, like, a 5-6-year-old and give them to my teenage brothers and sisters.
That's hilarious.
And then eventually, like, it stopped working, and they're just like, no.
Do you remember them actually telling you no?
Basically, it was, he's a big guy, we called him Fat Joe. He owned the store. It was the little shopper on Cherry Street Extension, if anybody remembers it. And Fat Joe ran the store, and he would sell me cigarettes, and then one day he was just like, no. It's for your brothers and sisters, isn't it? And I'm just like, no.
Aww.
That's so cute. Mark enabling all these bad boys and girls.
I didn't know. Well, they would pay me in like candy bars.
Yeah. It's because I want a candy bar.
And now I'm addicted to chocolate.
Yeah, aren't we all?
I'm not addicted to chocolate. That's just when I eat, I can't stop.
Have you had the fourth chocolate yet?
Wait, what, huh?
So, can you name all the chocolates that we have? Let's go through the list.
That exists in the market, commercially available.
Yes.
What do you mean?
Well,
you got Cadbury's?
No, what? So there's
Peter
dark,
and Murray.
So there's dark chocolate, right?
Okay, dark chocolate, milk chocolate. That's all I got.
What else? The racist extra chocolate.
Extra dark chocolate.
White chocolate.
White chocolate.
Does that count?
It's made from cocoa beans, bitch.
All right.
Don't call your friends, bitch. It's a feminist bitch with a Y.
I know.
Now they've developed a new one, and I just got it. I just tried it recently. It's been out like they developed in Switzerland like last year by Nestle. I think they probably own the copyright on it. So it's chocolate, and it's made from the same cocoa beans, right? It's just a different process. It has the same texture as chocolate, but it is red in color, and it's called Ruby Chocolate, and it tastes like berry.
Oh, I'm not into it.
How do you know?
I don't like my chocolate and my fruit to mix.
But doesn't taste like chocolate.
Mark's excited about it.
It tastes like berries?
It tastes like berry, but it has the consistency of chocolate.
Now, Mark bought some for us for Valentine's Day.
Because I'm a romantic, and I do things like that, right?
And when I got home, he already ate one of the bars.
Half of one. I had to try it. I've been dreaming about this for a while. Because they're like, it was commercially available in Japan, but you had to like, but with Kit Kats. Mm-hmm. So like, I would have had to have bought like a Kit Kat bar from Japan. Do you know how much a Kit Kat bar from Japan is?
How much?
It's like $15.
Oh.
It's crazy.
It's too much.
Yeah.
They charge you like $100 for a watermelon in Japan.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I was just like, I'll wait.
All
and
you then can get cheap is rice. I don't know anything about Japan. But I have watched YouTube videos about fruit, and Japanese people like love their fruit.
Huh.
They're like obsessed with it. And they'll buy like a watermelon that's shaped like a cube for like
$100. Those cube shaped watermelons.
I think that would be really practical.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't roll
for
off the
storage,
counter.
Storage for sure.
Yeah. You could like put two on your shelf instead of just one.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder how the flavor is.
It's, you know, angular.
Angular.
It has a real sharp corner.
Yeah, I'm more interested in the cube watermelon than the berry chocolate.
I would like the seeds were little cubes.
Anymore. I'm sorry,
you should be
Mark.
Excited about Ruby chocolate.
You know, it's
a new chocolate.
You know, just
there's
because
only
you
ever
agree.
Been three chocolates in this world, and now we have all. It's a paradigm shift. What about this? Do not understand.
You can add anything
okay,
to white
cool.
chocolate.
I'm
and make
excited
it taste like
about it. I just don't think it's for my palate. Okay. I don't think my own personal palate will like it.
We ordered
I won't give you any
matcha green chocolate that's flavored with matcha powder.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, there's your fifth right green chocolate.
Okay,
and it was made with Kit Kat bars, and they're actually really good.
Kit Kats are doing everything.
You know, you can get like a million different flavors, just like the Jelly Belly.
Yeah,
for Kit Kats in Japan.
Huh.
It's insane. Mm-hmm. And the reason they have so many is because when kids graduate, like they're about to take a test or they graduate from high school, they're going to college, the parents give them Kit Kats because I guess the word Kit Kat sounds like good luck.
Aww.
Or something
really
like that.
Sweet. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So they're like, here you go, your strawberry puke flavored
Kit Kat.
They have like strawberry and cream, strawberry cheesecake, strawberry shortcakes, just plain strawberries, like 10 different flavors of strawberries and a banana and so on and so on.
Mm. Really
they have a sake flavored Kit Kat. I'm not kidding you. Like the booze.
Yeah. The melon one was kind of weird.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is the reason we talk about these things on the podcast because the listeners... They get ideas in their
they're
head.
They send us stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
And then we eat it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to eat it. Because they could, you know, harm us that way. But we trust you guys.
Mm-hmm. Are you crushed or surprised that Luke Perry died?
Okay, so here's the thing. My roommate, huge Luke Perry fan. Yeah. Like, since 90210 has, like, carried this torch for Luke Perry. Mm-hmm. Like, over the years of, like... Major fan. She went to conventions and she's met him like twice. Maybe
she made out
times.
With him.
She met him.
She wishes she made out with him, but they definitely like posed for pictures together.
Did he feel that? What did he smell like?
Oh, she didn't tell me. I don't know.
Like,
and so how was she doing?
Not good.
Really?
Very sad.
Like a loss of a friend.
So she was upset like last Wednesday when he had the stroke, I would imagine, right?
She was upset then.
I was surprised he died. I mean,
yeah,
shit.
I was surprised he died too. I thought he would just have like stroke effects, like, you know, some aphasia and some right or left sided weakness or something like that. I didn't think he was going to die. Like, he's really young, like 52.
52, he's a baby.
Yeah, and healthy. And, you know, he was on Riverdale, so he was like kind of making a comeback with his career, and then there's the 90210 reboot.
He hadn't signed on for it yet.
She's beat up about it.
What's she gonna do?
According to WebMD, strokes are more likely to be fatal and strike earlier in men than women.
Yeah.
So it's not unusual.
A lot of people really loved him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was for Luke Perry, he was a sex symbol, an icon for a lot of gay men who came of age in the early 90s for my generation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, throughout his career, he, much like actually his co-star in 90210, Jason
Priestley.
I also had a crush on him, too. I actually like Jason more than I like
him. Yeah, I had more of a Jason crush. Ooh. Yeah.
But both of them both actors dedicated their lives to fighting for LGBT equality and did tons of AMFAR and AIDS fundraisers. And Jason Priestley starred in a movie with a drag queen, Die Mommy Die.
Charles Bush.
Thank you.
He was in that. I forgot he was in that.
Yeah, Jason Priestley was in that movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so part of it is like they were really good men. They were really kind men, and they were great actors. And the reason 90210 had such legs, besides the rest of the cast, was really, you know, Luke Perry was really extraordinarily good at being an actor and in this sort of daytime soap opera. And 90210 really didn't catch on until it had viewings during the summer. So they like they used to put these shows in the primetime listings and didn't catch on until they did like a marathon viewing of it in the summer. That's when we got hooked on it. And when they graduated high school, I graduated college, and I remember very very clearly watching the final episode of 90210, then putting my cap and gown and going to my graduation ceremony.
Aww.
So it was
synchronicity.
It was a lot of synchronicity. So to me, I'm like, you know, and you know, we're all close in age, honey, so take care of yourself and do whatever you got to do to keep that blood moving and
get your blood work done.
But sometimes, you know, these strokes come out of nowhere and there's nothing you can do about them. And it's just like, you know, life is short and live every moment to the fullest.
Yeah. Check your blood pressure.
But what are you going to do? Like, so, you know, when you got your high blood pressure, what do you do after that? You go see a doctor.
Yeah, you go see a doctor.
I stick my arm in the that thing at the grocery store.
Yeah, you can do that every day. And then you can, if you notice that, like, for a week, that it's like consistently in the same parameter and it's really high, you go see a doctor and be like, hey, I'm in the 200s. Like, you know, you're about to stroke out, man.
You can go to like the Walgreens and they'll give you they'll check your thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're like, hold on, let me bring out the blood pressure meter. Where do you want to sit to do this? All right, roll up your sleeve. Let me get the other one. You sure have big biceps.
And then it turns into a Walgreens porno.
I'll have to use the extender on this.
They always do that. And you're like, bitch, I don't want my biceps on that big.
Come on. It's only 18 inches when I flex. Karma, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thanks
it's
for
always
having
a pleasure.
Me. Yeah, thank
you're
you.
You're an angel.
This is lovely.
My sister from another mister.
I want to remind folks we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to this show is what makes this show happen.
Happy birthday, Like a Prayer. Madonna's single turns 30.
Ooh.
And she's in the middle of shooting a video with Monet Exchange. We know that. But not Fifi O'Hara. She said she was invited.
It would be funny if Monet showed up and Madonna was like, no, you don't really fit the bill. I was wrong about you, Monet.
That would be great. We're just kidding. We hope everybody listening to this show and everybody out there has a healthy life surrounded by people who appreciate them and love them. And to the people who are hating on you, ban, block, and delete. Move on, honey, because life is too short.
That's what the royal family's doing. They have a new set of guidelines where they ban, block, and delete people. Because I guess they have to, the people at Kensington Palace have to monitor a lot of stuff online, talking about the royal family, especially between Meghan Markle and Prince Markle, you know, Prince Harry's wife, and between Prince William's wife. Mm. There's a lot of people that are comparing the two, who's prettier, who's
this,
who's
that. They want a cat fight.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. So I guess they're doing that. So now they've issued a set of guidelines. So don't violate the royal guidelines or you will get banned, blocked, and deleted.
Don't be coming after my Harry. Prince Ginger, love you, baby. Give me a call. We had some fun times in Vegas. Let's do it again.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Bye.